The place is packed, and it's not for our band, it's not for me or our wonderful welcome team, it is for Jesus. And that's exactly what it's all about. But it is Mother's Day, and we're thankful that a lot of mothers have packed the place today. And Mother's Day is here, and I want to say a very special thank you for being you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for what you have done. Without you, I wouldn't be here, as Reed was saying earlier. Stacy spoke this great app that I have. This is awesome. Let him be afraid then. Women are image bearers of God. Women are co-heirs with Christ. Valued, worthy, powerful, needed. There is a reason the enemy fears women and has poured his hatred onto our very existence, she says. Let him be afraid then. For we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us, and we will not be overcome. God is our strength, Jesus our defender, the Holy Spirit is our portion, and in the name of our God and Savior, we will choose to love Him. We will choose to bow down in surrendered worship to our God. And by the power of Christ in us, we will choose to rise up and be women of God, bringing His kingdom in unyielding and merciful strength. Stacy is going off on this. Good stuff. I got it in my app this morning. Ladies, beautiful scripture. And I gave my mom a call this morning. She's pushing 90. Got a lot of redneck in her. And honey, I heard of the honey, and make sure you're okay. You know, those things. If you haven't had the chance yet, gentlemen or kids, take time today. Make time today. And welcome back to the Haiti team. Our team Haiti is back, and I don't know, they're all over. Jen's here. Jen was welcoming, greeting people, and she's in another time zone this morning. But we'll break that down in the weeks to come. Make sure that you hang out with these people. They've been in another world, literally a third world. This is a different environment altogether. If you're visiting today, we gave out some really cool stuff, and it's very simple stuff. Take time to fill that out. Take time. We want to get to know you. That's the only way. If you dart out of here, we'd love to be able to contact you and say, hey, we're going on a guy's camp out this week. By the way, we're going on a guy's camp out this week. Okay, stuff like that, we need to let you know about it. Lots of opportunities to serve. The team's out there doing a great job of passing out very important things that help us stay connected, just because Avalon's moving into the busy season here. Memorial Day's coming, Labor Day's far off, but in between, it is crazy. Am I right? Stacey, you know, it's crazy. So this is how we stay connected. We are starting a series today, and Josh was kind of hinting around to it, Believe. The songs were saying, my eyes were blind, now I see. There's a reason for that. And we're going to keep the main thing, okay? This house is packed today because this is about Jesus. And this is the main thing. And this is why you come. Amen? Let's keep it the main thing. Let's do it this morning. We're starting this called, He Did What? Can you guys say that with me? One, two, three. He did what? You know, you've heard that as a parent, mom, right? You know, the teacher calls you, your son's in the office right now, and he did what, you know? Thought it'd be cool. We're talking today for the next few weeks, just looking at the life of Jesus, keeping it real, keeping the main thing what it is. Here's one of the things I want to say to you for consideration. In my opinion, if you're a regular here, okay, specifically come here a lot, I've said this before, especially to students and young adults alike, that many here are just waiting for an invitation. They just want to be invited. Okay? That's a huge part of my life. I was invited. I was invited into something larger than my world. Several men stacked hands in a very busy young pastor's life. I was just going crazy in ministry. And they pulled me back, said, dude, wait, you know, let's talk about bigger things in your life. And man, without those guys, you know, my marriage and other things are important, critical to me. I needed to slow down. I needed people to invite me into things, larger stories, and I started to grow. But they're not anti-God. Most of the time when you invite people, you'll find they're not anti-God. Most of the time, they're anti-Christian. Simply because they'll say, if that's Christianity, and they're looking at something or someone or something they noticed, they'll say, I don't want that. Are you crazy? And I realize there's about 4 empty seats here. I thought there'd be a lot more with prom night last night. We are a little exhausted, those of us parents and those of you who served in prom. Thank you. I understand it was an amazing prom. All right? And that's pretty much the description of it right there, the way people are feeling today. But what you'll hear from people is either not the fact that Jesus was here, it's was he who he said he was. That's the deal. No one with any degree of intelligence would deny the fact that Jesus was a real person. He was here. There is plenty of extra biblical records showing that he existed. Where it gets tough and where people have a struggle is, was he really who he said he was? Or was he just a liar? And if he was, you know, you're just sitting here this morning, you know, you had to wake up, you know, for a lie. So that's where things get tough. You got an outline this morning. Thank you, Natalie. This is so cool. A little sunrise action on the back. And we're going to be doing something we haven't done before. We're going to dive into Scripture a little bit more deeply than just our outline. And right in front of you is a copy of God's Word. And in the back, sitting by Gail, are stacks and stacks of copies of God's Word. And I'd love for maybe Reed or Michael, if you want to, just grab those Bibles, man. Let's get them out. Let's get them out. Let's get them off the pew and into the hands. And you can follow this story. It's in John chapter 9. It is totally Jesus. It is all about Jesus. And you're going to actually see something that maybe you've heard since you were little, very young. And there's nothing like a good reminder of the Christ and what he has come to do today from something you may have heard many, many years. He's still doing this. John chapter 9. Now up here, I have lots of different copies. I know on your outline it says The Message. That's the one that I read this story in, okay? And I've got a copy of The Message right here. These are all copies of God's Word, okay? They all are saying the same thing, but they are saying them a little differently. We call them translations. Does that make sense? Y'all tracking with me? Okay, so there's many translations. This is the one right here that you'll find we're going to read in today in John 9. This is called the NLT, or the New Living Translation, right? I also read the story in The Message, and that made it on the notes, but I would love to read it like poetry. This story is really clumped together. When you read The Message, it's kind of difficult to find individual verses versus the story put together. So that's why I use the NLT today. It's specifically going to point out verses. This Bible right here belonged to my grandmother. And when she passed away at age 100, my mom and dad gave that to my family. Very powerful sword. 100-year-old lady had this Bible, okay? Inside it are stories about my life I don't even remember, and our family tree. Very important, okay? This is about a 115-year-old little New Testament here, okay? And you can see I got Server's Bibles here. Man, I got a Backpacker Bible over there. This is a Bible. I don't use this because it won't fit in my back pocket, all right? That's the only reason. But it says the same thing as the Server's Bible, okay? And for most of you in here that are moving forward, you even have it on your phone. How many have a Bible app of at least some sort? Look at that. Wow, okay? Yeah, plenty out there, Bible Gateway. I'm just letting you know that Scripture is found all over the place. Today, we've chosen it not to go on the screen or not on your outline. We want you to dig a little bit. It's fun, okay? And some of us have multiple Bibles at home. Studying God's Word is so important. It's critical. It starts in John 9. Right at the sound booth today, as you're leaving, if you want a copy of the ones we handed out, just take one, okay? Take a copy with you today. As Jesus is walking along, John 9, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. And what you need to know about a man who's blind from birth is basically they were given one occupation. This was the deal. If you were blind from birth, in this culture at this time, okay, you were a beggar. You were a beggar. That's the deal, okay? And he sees this guy blind from birth. Picture this now. He's walking through town. And everywhere he goes, there's a crowd. There's a large crowd that followed Jesus. He could not get away from this crowd. Did not want to, in many cases. He took care of them. They're lined up. And evidently, he stops and sees this blind beggar. Stops the whole parade, the whole processional. Looks at this blind guy. And the Bible doesn't say this, but I imagine that Jesus probably looked at him with a sense of interest. This is interesting. A sense of compassion. He had been born blind. Okay. During that time, they stopped and Jesus is just kind of looking at him. The disciples say, here it is. Was he born blind because of his sin or his parents' sin? Okay, verse 2. During that time, there was a tradition, a teaching that went sort of like this in Jewish culture. If you had any type of deformity, anything at all, a short arm or a limp in your walk, something wasn't quite right, okay? Blindness, whatever. That it was a punishment for your sin or your parents' sin. That was the belief at the time, okay? And a lot of times during that time, they'd even go back to somebody who was pregnant, a young woman, and they'd say, if they knew that she had lived a bad life, they'd say, your kid is going to come and something is going to be wrong with him. They'd make that statement. They judge that. This was the Jewish belief. Jesus kind of stops this whole thing. And they say, Jesus, is it mom's sin or the guy's sin? What's the story here? Verse 3. Jesus said it was not because of his sin or his parents' sin. Jesus answered, he was born blind so that the power of God could be seen in him. All of us must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent me, because there is little time left before the night falls and all the work comes to an end. But while I am still here, I am the light of the world. Isn't that good stuff? Students are coming home, and I know it's a break right now for a lot of you, and but you've had English classes, and you've had to look for key phrases in the midst of events, possibly. This is one of those little phrases right here. I am the light of the world. But basically what Jesus is doing when he answers his questions, he's saying, I'm not going to be caught up in this dumb discussion of whether or not it's his sin or his parents' sin. It's neither. This guy was born blind so that the power of God can be shown forth. Right there, he sets the stage for a great miracle that we're about to see. And you can feel it in the room, okay? You understand when you read something like this, something's coming up. Jesus, he just diffused those things, put them off to the side. Because my guess is, in here, nobody here is blind, okay? If you are, you're hiding it very well. But no one here. Imagine for a second that a blind guy must have, what he'd been going through for a moment, just to be blind. Never seen a blue sky. Never saw his mother, may have felt her face or even a tear, not knowing what he was feeling, okay? Dependent on a friendly arm to take him places or an unstable cane, Jesus is about to heal him. This life that really you and I can't conceive of is about to be healed. No idea what his folks looked like. He knew their voice. Verse 6, check it out. Then Jesus spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, smoothed the mud over the blind man's eyes. To me, that's extremely funny, okay? Of all the ways that Jesus chose to heal this guy, all right? Of all the ways, he chooses to do it this way. He's talking to this guy, then he spits on the ground, and he makes this mud pie. And that's a very loose translation. I don't think your translation says mud pie, but he makes this mud pie, okay? You've got to imagine this guy and where he's sitting for a minute, all right? Everybody close your eyes. Close your eyes. All right? Sorry, Michael. Now, you're sitting here, and you're blind. You're thinking, where did that just go, okay? Or you felt it. You grew up blind. People have been picking on you. You've been tripping over stuff, okay? This whole life has been putting up with just people mocking you, putting kick me scrolls on your back, whatever. This guy has just been constantly under interrogation by people, just mocking him, maybe stealing. People stole from beggars, especially someone that could not see. It's an easy target. The disciples of Jesus have got to be kind of in the background laughing at what Jesus chose to do to this man. It's a beautiful miracle, but you've got to go there to the beauty of what Jesus chooses to do. I mean, he puts dirt on someone's eyes for them to see, so to speak, the image of this. It's just Jesus. And he says in verse 7, then he told him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Siloam, which means sent. It's kind of a nice thing to say after you just spit on someone's face there. This is, I want you to go wash. And I wonder how this guy probably felt. Maybe a little foolish. Quite honestly, think about it. Someone just has put mud on your face. People are laughing. There are skeptics there. Imagine how he must have felt. Everybody knew this guy had been born blind. Jesus spits, takes a little time to make this mud pack, puts it on his eyes and says, go wash. And you're thinking, am I going to do this? Is this for real? Is this another one of those deals? Maybe his heart starts skipping a beat. And the person who is the kind arm starts cheering him on. And they start jogging. They start running as fast as they can. There's anticipation. Think of the emotions of the moment. Read into Scripture here. Look at what is happening. He's been given something. What if it's true? What if there's a possibility I could receive sight? Then he gets to the pool and he begins to wash. Just imagine for a second that this low light starts pouring into his eyes. I'd love to have a video of this or just from that perspective. And the only thing I can think of is either as a diver or as a surfer, when you know you've been hit by a wave or you're coming up from something very dark and you just kind of come up into all this white water and you're just kind of flailing along and the light pours in from something that's very deep and it's dark. Just that the first images of light, you know, it's coming in. Maybe you feel a little different, a little foolish, but all of a sudden his eyes, the crust comes off. He begins to see a reflection of a person he's never seen in his entire life. He looks up, sees the sky, heard people say the sky was blue. Now it suddenly registers, that's blue. Sees a tree and he goes, green tree. He'd say it to my kids when they were little. He's now beginning to get all these colors and these shapes and these people and these images. And I have to imagine how awesome that must have been. And he was healed. And all of a sudden he went, oh, I must get back to my begging post, right? No chance. He is a new creation. I've got a great spot on the corner. Let's go. Hey, business is booming there. He didn't go back to that spot on the corner. He gets moving forward. Look at verse 8, okay? The Bible says, when he went and washed, he came back seeing. Think for a minute. He didn't even know what his parents looked like. He knew what their son was. They knew what he looked like. But imagine looking for your parents. You've never seen them before, right? Just calling out, trying to hear their voice. It's pretty neat, okay? Neighbors, others, they knew him as the blind beggar. They asked each other, is this the same guy? That beggar? Some said he was. Others said no, but he sure looks like him. The beggar kept saying, I am the same man. Can you imagine that? He has to defend himself. It is me. I realize I've been tripping over dead dogs for years, and you guys have been stepping on me, putting these scrolls on my back. It's me. I can see. I am the same man. Great verse, verse 10. Then they asked him, who healed you? What happened? They told him, the man they called Jesus made mud, smoothed it over my eyes, told me, go to the pool of Siloam, verse 11, wash off the mud. I went, I washed, now I can see. They said, where is he now? I said, I don't know. I found that very interesting. That after Jesus heals him, he doesn't go searching for Jesus. Doesn't go back to find Jesus. He goes back to be with his family and his friends. That a changed life doesn't take the time to thank his changer. Instead, he just wants to show off his new life. It's very interesting. Very interesting that you read it like this. Then he says here, and this is where things change dramatically. They took the man to see the Pharisees. Okay? Now realize many of you have grown up or gone to church in the past, and you may know what a Pharisee is. Many of you haven't, so let me explain. A Pharisee, these are the main skeptic of what's going on here. A Pharisee is a fancy word for religious ruler. Okay? Somebody who, as I read the Bible and try to understand, is somebody who has focused on the small picture of God versus the big picture of God. Okay? For example, if there were Pharisees in leadership today and they were by the door, they'd go, "Not you. You can go. You can come in. You're not dressed right. You can go. No, I saw you in school. I saw what you did at prom last night. You're not going in there." Okay? You can go. You can't go. They'd sit there and their reputation would be very difficult. A Pharisee is someone who likes to keep human laws, but not necessarily God's laws. Okay? They knew God's laws. Boy, did they know them. But they were much more interested in keeping human laws. They were kind of like religious cops of the day. You guys are tracking with me, but I think it bears mentioning that if you came into a building or you came into the congregation or you came into the synagogue, you would feel a little uncomfortable, kind of like security, you know, the pat-down deal and all of it. It just would feel uncomfortable. Verse 13, so they took the man to the Pharisees. Now, as it happened, Jesus had healed the man on the Sabbath. A Sabbath doesn't mean much to us today, but a Sabbath, a day, and the law said, you don't work, okay, bottom line. Some of you are intellectual types, so you're sitting here reading the story going, how did he work? I mean, what was the work? I mean, he spat on the ground, he made mud, right? That was considered work, okay? You were allowed to save someone's life if it was in danger, but you were not allowed to heal someone. Go figure. So now these religious leaders, they don't even care about the blind guy even being healed. They're just ticked off that Jesus worked on the Sabbath. Here he is. He's technically a means to an end. Here's the story. It picks up in verse 15. The Pharisees asked the men all about it. So the man told them, "He smothered mud over my eyes. When it washed away, I could see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is... isn't this Jesus? Is he, this man Jesus, is not from God? Can't be, if he's working on the Sabbath." Others said, "But how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs?" You understand, there was deep division among them. Catch that? Deep division among them. A lot like today. If I went into the school today, and it's Sunday, but if I went into the school today or having school, you could feel some deep division. This has been an election year. Deep division is happening. You know, just another religious teacher. I've heard about Muhammad. I've heard about Buddha. I know in my daughter's own classroom, there's different beliefs by different people, some of which are very uneducated, but they choose what's popular on social media, and they'll choose that. Okay, but Jesus, he's just got to be a normal teacher. That's what he is. This is my hope, that you come to this series and you really see who Jesus was. Maybe some of you don't know. Maybe some of you think you know. Or you might just need something to strengthen your faith this morning. Verse 17, this is great. The Bible says, the Pharisees questioned the man who had been blind and then demanded, "This man who opened your eyes." Here you go, okay? "Who do you say he is?" The man said, "I think he must be a prophet." The Bible doesn't even tell us that the Pharisees were actually excited that this man was healed. All they're after is Jesus at this point. They didn't like Jesus because he taught differently. He taught more about God's love. He taught more about a relationship with God than just keeping the rules. That was trouble, as far as they were concerned. How could this guy be so special if this Jesus guy actually made mud on the Sabbath? So they're not even interested in getting after the truth. They wanted to hear this guy's words, and they basically were going to toss him out and just get rid of him. And it says this, verse 18. The Jewish leaders wouldn't believe that he had been blind, so they called his parents in. Love that. So here's this guy who's been healed telling his story, and they go, no, we don't believe you. And because you're talking about Jesus here as something special, we don't believe you because that would mean Jesus is God. Let's bring his parents in. So they call the parents in. They say, is this your son? Was he born blind? How can he see? Great verse. The reason this is such a big deal is no one in the history of the world, okay, has been born blind and healed. No one. No one until this moment. Do all the research you want. People with cataracts, with an eye condition, have had some sight regained, a cataract removed, but nobody in the history of the world, born blind, had been healed until this moment. This was flipping things upside down. Great verse right here, verse 20. The parents replied. They just passed this one off. We know this is our son. We know he's blind. We don't know how he can see or heal him. He's old enough to speak for himself. Ask him. They're scared. Okay? The synagogue was the mall. The synagogue was the food court. It was the entertainment. It was the arcade. It was the hangout. It was where people gathered. And if they answer to this, as they already know, people are ticked off about Jesus. They could sense this questioning is going to point a finger. They're done. They're going to get kicked out along with their son. So they're just, hey, ask him. He's old enough. He knows what's going on. Ask him yourself. Verse 23, they call this guy back in a second time, okay? Give glory to God. Tell the truth. Because we know Jesus is a sinner. You figured out by now that these folks are skeptics. But listen to this. And I don't mind skeptics, because I've been one. Okay? It's okay to be a skeptic, but they've already made up their mind. They've already made up their opinion. That's different. We're pushing ignorance at that point. It's okay to be a skeptic, but a skeptic goes after questions and answers to follow. They look for the answers. They're pushing towards something. Amen? Right? I mean, we're all, Josh Garrell said it. It's not flavor of the week. I'm looking for something that I can build my life on, and it is coming down to one word, and you know what it is, belief. And my faith and my belief is where it comes down to, and he just is getting pressed. We know he's a sinner. We know he's a sinner. Here's what the guy said. This is a great passage. Verse 25. I don't know whether he's a sinner. I know this. Once I was blind, now I can see. You can put that on my tombstone if you want. Actually, I've got a lot of stuff probably going on my tombstone. I don't know how about room. I say that every other week. I just love that verse. Don't you love that verse? Guys, get off my back. I don't know. All right? I was this way. Now I'm this way. If you're a Christian and you don't have all the answers for everybody, and you're a young adult in this room possibly that's being told, what about evolution? What about these things that are in the news right now? What about hate? There was a young lady this week at FCA, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes in the school, and I was talking to her afterwards just for a moment. She said, it's easy for me to talk about Jesus here in this classroom. It's easy because this is what we're all about. When I get home, I don't know what they're going to say at the table. When I'm in the circle of my friends or on my team, I'm afraid to mention that because someone's going to pop one of these questions on me. What about this stuff? What about Jesus being the only way? And can angels, how many angels can you fit floating around a cheeseburger? What's going on? I may just get these strange, bizarre, I can't explain it, I don't get it. This is a kid, 14 years old, that's already articulating what you feel, and go ahead and put your age there. You know it. You know what I'm saying. Okay? Doesn't matter. Whatever age you are, you understand when you walk into a circle and someone may try to drill you with some of those tough questions. I don't know. Once I was blind, now I can see. She said, I'm going to feel bad, though, and I'm going to feel like a weak Christian, is what the girl told me. She was only 14. What did this guy say? I was blind. He just told his story. That's all. And you know where I'm going with this, and we're going to land the plane on that fact alone and then move on. Just tell your story. It's all you got anyway. I mean, everything else is just posing. Just tell your story. I'm new. I'm different. For some of you, you may be afraid to talk about God if you're a Christian. I need to let you know you have a story. Just share the elements of your story. I used to not know God. I was brought up this way, or my life was a mess. Somebody invited me to church. I heard about Jesus, started asking questions. I came to him. Guys, you have a story. Just stick with it. And you'll notice there's confidence in that, because that's what's true about you. That's your true heart. Because everybody else wants to know the stuff that we're going to have to ask God about. I remember when my 21-year-old daughter Maddie was very little, and she's followed a lot of youth groups around. Constantly kids, constantly adults and people in our home, all the time, people in our home. People cooking. We didn't know who was cooking the meals some nights. She was always around. And I remember she'd hear some stories from the stage. We'd interview people. And she was really little. And she said, Dad, I don't have one of those great testimonies. So what's a great testimony? You know, you've heard them all before. The ones like, I used to do drugs when I was an infant, when I was 5, the biggest drug smuggler in the kindergarten, I stole the church van, busted the botanical garden's wall down or something. You know, these stories, it's not the deal. It's simple, okay? And your story matters. Maybe you don't have that kind of a story. Maybe you grew up in a different home. And like my daughter, at some point you found Jesus. Your life's not perfect. I'm not saying that, okay? But you haven't made a bunch of bad decisions. That's a great story. Rarely does anyone tell you that. And I'm telling you from the pulpit today, that's a great story, okay? You've grown up, kind of got your act together. That's the minority. I'm just letting you know. That is the minority. It makes a great story. Whether it's a wild one or a lame one, you got a story. Verse 26, they asked him, what did he do? How did he heal you? The guy says, look, I told you once. Here we go, okay? Serious, smart aleck. I love it. Here we go. Didn't you listen? Why? Do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Read it. Look at it. I'm not making it up. Don't just look at black and white on the page. Read into it. This guy is, he's got confidence now. He's been healed. Not blind. He can see exactly what's going on. And when Christ is in your life and you walk into a hypocritical, skeptical conversation, or you can feel it and you feel that religious spirit operating, you tracking with me? Not the heart operating. Somebody who's questioning you in religious spirit, just have confidence. Jesus will take over. Okay? I love his reaction though. I'm all over this guy. Okay? I've told you once. Now, all of a sudden, he's got this confidence. Why do you keep asking me these questions? You want to be a follower too? Or anything but. That's why this was such a great smart aleck response. Just great. Then they cursed him. Okay? Talk about taking some heat. They went ahead and just cursed him. You don't know anything. Get out. And he stops. And I love this. On his way out, this is very strange. Verse 30th. Okay? On his way out, he just throws a little lecture in there. He healed my eyes, and yet you don't know anything about him. Like, you religious people are supposed to be close to God. He healed me. You don't know anything about him. God doesn't listen to sinners, but he listens to those who are all ready to worship him and do his will. Ever since the world began, has anyone been able to open the eyes of someone born blind? This is the guy talking. If this man were not from God, he couldn't do it. He's giving a parting lecture in the process of being booted out of the synagogue, okay? Religious rulers in their robes, fancy hats, whatever they're wearing, they went after him. They said, you were born into sin. Are you trying to teach us? They just threw him out of the synagogue. You're done. They just tossed him right out. He wasn't finished. A lot of people in life who think they can see, spiritually blind. I've been one of them. A lot of skeptics who think they know the right way. They're spiritually blind. I've been one of them. Who does a blind person know? What does a blind person know? Catch that? He knows he's blind. He knows he's blind. And I know that sounds a little weird to say this morning, but a blind person knows his condition. There's no pose. Here's a summary. Okay? And if you're tracking along, it's in your deal here. Okay? Jesus brings healing to the hurting. You can see that, obviously. Jesus has answers for the skeptics. They might have been answers through the blind guy, and he's answering the skeptics. Jesus proves his power to the followers. He's out there. He's proven it. If you were a follower of Jesus and you just saw that, now all of a sudden you're going, this guy has been teaching about it. Now I'm seeing it. So what? On your outline. So what? You guys woke up early. You came to church. Talked about this sweet Bible event. But so what? What difference does that make in your life in the 21st century and your age and your stage of life that you're in? So what? Let me ask you this. And this is where I sat all week, especially yesterday. How do you resonate with these characters in this story? There's three big ones going on here. What describes you? You don't need to say it out loud. You definitely don't need to share it with anybody, okay? You don't need to circle it. Just in your own heart, Andrew. I'm hurting, you know? What's in your heart? What do you... I may not be blind, but I'm hurting. I need some healing. I may say I'm a skeptic. I came with a friend. Actually, I wasn't planning on being here at all. It's Mother's Day or whatever reason. I'm just here. I don't get it. I'm not into this God thing. I have a ton of questions. I don't understand all of it. I don't get this Jesus stuff. Okay? Skeptical. Maybe you're here today and you're a follower. You got out of bed and you just wanted to get recharged. Where are you? If you're hurting. I mentioned this week, I spent time at this school. I had a lot of conversations warning kids, hey, do something good after prom. Do something good after prom. Make a new generation. Build something with great memories. When prom's over, give yourself something to celebrate with your friends, okay? But I talked to this 14-year-old girl once again who had been through more pain than I have been in my 40 years of being alive. And I'll tell you right now, some of you in here, I understand, you cover it well. You cover it well. There's some families, they cover it well. There may be, you know, a great house, great business. It's something covering it up, but there's the same hurt. It could be relational hurt, parent, family strife, addictions. You can't shake what that addiction is. You've made bad decisions, whatever it is. What I want you to hear this morning is this. Jesus stopped this entire processional. Everyone following him, just like he stopped the crowd, he looked at that blind guy, and I want you to feel that. I want you to sense that. You might be hiding your hurt from other people, but God sees it. And he stops the crowd. He stops all the momentum. And he looks at you and says, what would you like for me to do for you? What can I do for you? How can I empower you? I don't want you to live like that. I don't want you to be hurting anymore. I got a way that you can find some healing in your life. He stopped everything. I just met the need right there. The action is to respond in faith to Jesus. What does that mean, respond to faith? What did the blind guy do? He didn't complain. He didn't, you know, like, what's going on here, man? You know, rip his shirt off, wipe it off. Oh, another one of these tricks. You spit on me like all these other guys. He didn't do that. He didn't take the time to criticize. He was told, go wash. He got up. And he went and he washed. He was obedient. He just did it. If you're hurting, here's the difference between Jesus and every other religious leader you've ever heard about. It's what we celebrated literally just a handful of weeks ago. You know it's coming. We were there for sunrise. It was exciting. What's it called, guys? Easter, resurrection. Yeah, that is the difference. That's where it all comes down. The power for living today. And more than that, your eternity. That's the difference. It's resting on that resurrection. Amen? 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 Guys, be certain. It's all resting on that. You walk out of here, you're going, thank God for the resurrection. Right? Respond to Jesus in faith. If we can help you do that as church staff, I'm just breaking it down and volunteering our entire team. We want to help you, whether they have said that to me or not. We do. Because I know their hearts. They're busy, and they're busy about that. They want to help you. They want to help you break it down. And here's something, if you're hurting, that's for you. And I wrote this as a hurting young man not so many years ago. Okay? This is what I wrote down in a journal. This is for me. The way that I've been living my life has led to the hurt that I'm in right now. I wrote, I haven't tried to mess it up. I haven't tried to be in all the pain. I haven't tried to get into these fights. I haven't tried to make these bad decisions, but I have. The way that I've been living my life has led to the pain that I'm in right now. And I wrote that down in my journal, and man, was I anxious to turn that page. Because after that, I wrote down, Jesus obviously has a different way for me to live. So by faith, because I don't get it, I'm not even sure I believe it totally. This is all faith. I'm going to begin to set my course following Jesus' way. And I talked to a guy on Monday night in Wildman that was just talking about something new in his life, recommitted his life to Christ. I said, tell me what that means to you. He said, my way wasn't working. It just wasn't working. So I'm getting on a new path. Very passionate about these things because I've been rescued, man. And you have too. For those of you who are tracking me, a lot of heads nodding right now. You understand. You can't sit back and just let it go. If you're changed, you're changed. There's just something inspiring. You feel like I got to give back. Not out of obligation. Not out of duty. I just want to do something. I want to celebrate. Respond to Jesus in faith. Second person's a skeptic. Maybe this is you. You're like, this is my parents' deal. I'm forced, all this stuff. You don't get it. There's hard stuff. Makes you wonder. What I have to say to you is this. Be a skeptic, but be in the place to where you want answers. Not the Pharisee situation. I know what's right. This is wrong. I'm a skeptic. I'm right. That's an ignorant person. That's all that is. Another skeptic is to say, I'm not going to keep coming because I have questions. I changed that. I'll give it a shot. I don't really want to be there, but I'll give it a shot. I've been burned. I've been burned by the church. It's Jesus. I'll give it another shot. I'll give it another shot. And what I can say is, keep asking questions. Ask those questions. Here's the answer. You know what? Truth will not hide itself. It won't. Amen to that. It won't hide itself. Ask the questions. You'll find the answers. You'll find the answers. Don't quit asking questions. Finally, the follower. This is it. If you're a follower, just write this down. You watch for changed lives. If you're a follower, you're a disciple, watch for changed lives. Don't be like the Pharisees who saw this blind guy healed. They didn't care about him. It didn't impact them at all. Look for something. Look for something. The response. You know, people that aren't hung up on tithes and offerings. They're not hung up on seeking counseling in their life. Whereas before, you know, it is. They look for things to join. A family dinner, a guys group, a girls group, a small group, any group where Jesus is being talked about, where they can celebrate. When was the last time you got to celebrate someone who's joined a small group? Right? Or went to a Bible study. I don't know, someone's like, welcome, you know? Versus, yeah, you made it to Bible study. I'm not joking around. When we do those things that we just forget about and we just kind of let our hearts tank, our hearts start to shrivel up. To celebrate. Celebrate. Hey, they're here today. Cool. Right? Surfers know about it in the lineup. You don't sit out there and go, where have you been for the last 3 months? You know? It's like, dude, you made it in the lineup today. And then you snake them. Steal their wave. No. Be real. Be happy. Somebody's life has been changed. Something new. They're coming back. Celebrate. Don't judge. Why? Because it proves the power of God. Step back for a minute. This isn't up to Pastor Andrew or anybody else in leadership. This is the power of God. That's why we celebrate, man. I look around. There's a packed house. That's the power of God. That's it. Just give it where it goes. Let go. Let it go up there, okay? So, and here's the deal. Share your story. Once again, keep it simple. I haven't been living like I should. Once I was blind, though, now I'm see. Keep it simple. Share your story. Don't forget. Don't forget. Don't forget your story. Let's close by looking at this last little paragraph in your notes. A blind beggar is a great example of a life change. Circle number one, okay? Circle number one there at the bottom. Why? That's most important. Look how he started. He acknowledged his blind condition and need. Two, he didn't argue with Jesus. There's a plan Jesus had. He went with it. Let's roll. Three, he submitted himself to Jesus through obedience, followed the plan. Four, he experienced the miracle of life changed. What started this whole life change? He acknowledged his condition. Today, if you're hurting, what a great day too, Mother's Day. What a beautiful day. Just acknowledge your condition. God, you know I'm hurting. God's not in heaven surprised by that. He's not sitting there going, oh, I didn't know that. Okay, you're not going to surprise him. Thank you for sharing that with me. No. He's going to take over at that point. Can our band come up real quick? Define where you're at. Hurting, skeptic, follower, acknowledge your need, what God can do in your life. Let's bow in prayer if we could. For those who are blind, they don't really realize their need. Those who receive sight are the ones who sense their own darkness and their own sin, that they need a Savior. I didn't read the last few verses of this event. So with your posture and worship mode here, I'd like to read them to you. When Jesus heard what happened, he found the man, said, do you believe in the Son of Man? There's a meeting after all this went down. Guy got kicked out of the synagogue. Do you believe? The man answered, who is he, sir? Because I sure would like to. Jesus said, you've seen him. He's speaking to you now. Yes, Lord, the man said, I believe. And he worshiped Jesus. As we worship this morning, I'm going to hang out over here. If you'd like to pray, come on up. Afterwards, you want to pray, come on up. You want to talk during the week? Let's talk. I don't have all the answers. I'll try to point you to the one who does. Father, thank you for the way that you move throughout Scripture, even to this day, and in the many translations, and over time, the way it's been read, and now even on our phones. It's still just as bombastic as the day it was first written, but it's pointing us to your Son. The Word became flesh, and as we look and we see just in this one story where we may be sitting, may your Scripture come alive once again. And may our lives be different as a result of being here today. Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.